Speak in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East MEA Center, www.imemc.org, from May 19th to May 25th, 2006. The Israeli army kills 9 Palestinians, including 7 civilians.
A woman is shot dead in her home.
7 die in Palestinian infighting, including a Jordanian driver.
And the siege continues, threatening the West Bank and Gaza Strip with widespread famine and medical failure.
These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Palestinian, Israeli, and international peace activists gathered in Berlin again this Friday for the weekly protest at the annexation wall. Holding carpets to protect their hands, they crossed the barbed wire fence erected by the army and continued on to the village's orchards, carrying banners that read, quote, "For every Palestinian village that was destroyed in 1948, there is another village isolated behind the annexation wall." Israeli soldiers guarding the wall attacked the demonstrators with sound bombs, tear gas, rubber-coated metal bullets, and clubs. 24 were injured, 1 seriously and 15 detained. As the weekly protest against the wall raged on in Berlin, Israeli authorities churned out a storm of legislation and court rulings to speed up and solidify the wall's construction. On Tuesday, the Israeli High Court rejected an appeal by residents of Al-Azariya village east of Jerusalem. The residents had requested a change to the route of the wall in order to avoid the isolation and ghettoization of their town. And on Monday, the High Court approved the construction of another section of the wall near Qalqilia. This new section will annex 1,000 acres of farmland to illegal settlements and lead to the uprooting of 1,100 olive trees belonging to Palestinian farmers. And over in the Knesset, the Israeli government confirmed its plans to complete 95% of the wall within a year.
And now, highlights from the Palestinian Center for Human Rights weekly report on Israeli military attacks against Palestinians. This week, the Israeli army killed 9 Palestinians, of whom 7 were civilians, injured 46, including 10 children, arrested 78 civilians, invaded the West Bank 50 times, and continued the siege that is threatening the West Bank and Gaza Strip with a man-made famine. This Saturday, an Israeli warplane dropped a bomb on the car of 28-year-old Al-Quds Brigade's member Mohammed al-Dahdu. Along with him, 3 civilians were killed and 4 wounded, all from the Amin family. And on Sunday morning, a woman was shot dead in her home in Balata camp. Here's how it happened. It was quiet around 4 in the morning when 50-year-old Subi Abu Musalam left for his job at the vegetable market. But when he noticed Israeli soldiers nearby, he decided to return home. His wife heard footsteps approaching the house, so she went to the second floor and looked through the window to see if it was her husband coming back home. As soon as she had looked through the window, an Israeli soldier shot her dead with a live bullet to the head. On Wednesday afternoon, the Israeli army invaded Ramallah, allegedly to arrest a wanted Palestinian. By the time the army left, 2 hours later, they had shot dead the wanted man and 3 civilians and wounded 35, including 8 children. Meanwhile, the siege continues, threatening the lives and livelihood of all who remain in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Only a handful of people are allowed to enter and exit Gaza, and food is in desperate supply. The West Bank continues to be sectioned off into ghettos as movement between north and south comes under increasingly severe regulation by the Israeli army. And this week, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a Palestinian anti-terrorism bill. The bill would declare the occupied Palestinian territories a, quote, terrorist sanctuary, and allow for U.S. sanctions on the West Bank and Gaza Strip.
The infighting between Hamas and Fatah continued this week. 7 were killed, including the driver of the Jordanian ambassador in Gaza. The clashes happened when Hamas deployed a newly formed security force last week in Gaza. President Mahmoud Abbas demanded that Hamas dissolve the force of 3,000, while Haniya insisted it should be combined with the already existing Palestinian police force. Over the last 3 weeks, 6 people died in street battles over the new security force. Meanwhile, Tariq Abu Rajab, head of the Palestinian intelligence, was wounded along with 7 of his colleagues in an explosion that rocked the center of Palestinian General Intelligence in Gaza City on Saturday morning. At-Tayyib Abdulrahim, Secretary General of the Abbas administration, commented on the recent clashes.
These are wrong and condemned incidents. The reason behind it is the illegal procedures of the forming a force under the command of the Minister of Interior. Stopping these incidents can be only done by cancelling the illegal procedures that were taken. Otherwise, the situation will lead to a civil war which all Palestinian people rejects.
Representatives from different Palestinian factions and religious groups convened on Thursday to hammer out a document that would put an end to the internal conflicts that had escalated in the past 2 weeks. Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniya called again for national dialogue and unity, and leaders of Fatah and Hamas agreed that an investigation should go forward.
Just before visiting the United States, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has called Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas a powerless leader who cannot represent Palestinians in peace talks with Israel. This statement followed a meeting between Abbas, Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni, and Israeli Deputy Prime Minister Shimon Peres. Abbas publicly disagreed with the statement and called again for an end to the Israeli occupation and the full implementation of the roadmap plan. A badly needed but sorely inefficient amount of funds may pass through to the West Bank and Gaza. This Sunday, the Israeli cabinet partially approved the transfer of $11 million worth of medicine and health supplies. As urgently as it is needed, this money is but a small fraction of the hundreds of millions of dollars rightfully belonging to the Palestinian government that is currently being held hostage in Israeli banks. Salah Bardawil, Hamas media spokesperson, comments on the transfer of the $11 million.
I think that there is an Israeli double misleading attempt. On one hand, this money is due to the Palestinian people and Israel is illegally holding it for political reasons. Israel wants to pressure and politically blackmail the Palestinian people. On the other hand, Israel's intention to control the way of spending this money is aimed at transforming the case from a political to a humanitarian one. By doing so, Israel attempts to isolate and ignore the government.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupied Bethlehem, this is Tarina Aguilar.
And this is Dina Owens.